All this talk about changing attitudes and practice made me wonder about institutional failure. What are some of the problems with institutional development?
The development history is littered with institutional failures, with institutional development that has gone wrong. The classic example of this has been in the early years of development, trying to develop the government as an institution which can bring about significant positive change for its population. The role of government is very, very important and very significant. However, the role of government in implementing particular initiatives has often been very poor. Some of the causes of institutional failure have been the environment and the role of government in creating an enabling environment.
I think individuals who work for humanitarian agencies are in a very difficult position because actually at the end of the day they are foreigners in somebody else's country, and it is very, very difficult for them to achieve solutions while they remain working for international institutions. And if we go down this path of indigenizing the solutions, the international organizations will become smaller and many of these people will lose their jobs. I think that really that the most important thing that the staff of humanitarian organizations can do is to tell the truth, is really to face up to the realities, not to succumb to a lot of the propaganda, a lot of the very bland, very superficial depictions of the situation that their fundraisers and the chief executives of these organisations tend to peddle, and to challenge the organisations from within, but that will take some courage.
As I talked to people, I also began to realise that one person's institutional development can be another's institutional problem. There are conflicting values over what constitutes the desirable institutional development outcome. There are also issues of power. The question which needs to be asked is, who sets the institutional development agenda? The issue of structural adjustment is an important one here, as Thomas Fisher points out.
There is always the question, what are we doing in doing development? It assumes some concept of progress. It assumes some concept of making things better. Structural adjustment programs are clearly institution development programs. But the outcome of those structural adjustment programs is still hotly disputed. And there are many people within development who feel they have had very negative consequences, particularly on poorer people within the countries concerned. So the World Bank has very clear values and has a very clear outlook on how it believes the world should operate, how it believes a particular country should operate. So the World Bank would argue that the changes that it has introduced have been positive changes in institutional development because they are in accordance with the values that they espouse. However, others who are coming from a different value base and have different attitudes will dispute that.
Peter Poor, senior health advisor from Save the Children Fund UK, also makes some interesting observations about the famous Almarata Declaration and the involvement of the World Bank in health.
In 1978, of course, the famous Almarata Declaration, a strategy for making a reality out of the health for all concept. A nice aspiration, a global aspiration, most countries of the world's signatories to it. And in institutional terms, it meant for us that we could go to pretty well any country in the world and start discussions about support to the health service on the basis of these very sound, largely unexceptionable principles. There were flaws to it, I suppose some of them being that it was politically highly subversive. It sought to move power from the more powerful to the less powerful. And for that, and I think all sorts of other reasons, it was never a huge success, certainly not at any national level. The World Bank looked at health and said, well, look, we've got a limited amount of money. It must be spent cost-effectively, therefore we will treat this disease and not that disease. It sort of said, look, health for all is a nice idea, but let's forget it, you know, it's not possible. So let's go for health for all those who can afford it. Now that abrogation of responsibility, if you like, that aspiration, I think our organisation see as a very serious change.
Tim Jeffrey and Bob Hodgson also make important points.
I think potentials of people being involved in their own development processes are that there's a sense of ownership, and that the ideal is that people are actually setting their own directions. They feel that they're involved in deciding where they're going and what their aims are, and therefore they're very much more motivated to be part of that. If you have something passed down to you and told this is where you're going to improve and develop and change, that's very much less motivating than actually being involved in yourself setting the direction and deciding where you should be going and then getting on board with it. So I think there's great potential in the whole push towards participation.
The real contribution of institutional development is to, I think, to develop what are often independent sources of contribution, independent and legitimately independent separate bodies, to contribute to their perception of their role and their perception of what they're trying to achieve within a broader context. You can see, and you know, the modern words of sort of vision and stakeholder goals and coming together, all the nice soft cuddly stuff, has a really hard edge to it when you start working in institutional development and getting these sources of power and influence working together in the same direction.